This is FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. What a great day we have. We're going to have another great show today. Raymond Berry was such a tremendous guest yesterday, and went over and at the Exchange Club, they had him over speaking today and did another tremendous job. And we're so fortunate to have people like that in this community. Want to let you know that the first part of this show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive, where they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shelbyville, Tennessee areas. For a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. We have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from, they say. A vehicle you buy from Stan McNabb, Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, GMC, and Stan McNabb, Jeep, Dodge, Chrysler, and Tullahoma, and Stan McNabb Ford in Lewisburg, and a vehicle you buy from another dealership may look alike, have the same equipment, and price the same, but they are different. Only the new or pre-owned vehicles from Stan McNabb has oil changes and tires for life at no additional charge. And I want to apologize for my Aunt Nancy McNabb for blowing part of that commercial, but it is a great place. I can't think of another place that you can go and get the great deals and the quality vehicles like they have at Stan. And you know, people, Brian, a lot of these guests, they can't wait to get up here. They put it on their list and make sure that they don't forget,
and they check it twice.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes things go wrong no matter how well you plan. Now, our guest today, Mr. Avent Lane, who I have known since he was a young man, and that's been a long time ago, promised me Saturday that he would be on here today. Today is Thursday, 2 o'clock. And what was I doing 15 minutes ago?
Let's see, talking to Scott? Oh, you made a phone call, didn't you?
I made a phone call.
I forgot.
Guess who I was looking for?
I think he forgot, too.
I was looking for Avent Lane.
No, I was busy.
Oh, okay.
I think he was asleep.
That's what I was going to say. You woke me up. I was snoozing really good, too. Stan, does he have any connections back down in Arab? Was it Arab, where Stan McNabb used to be?
Why would you call it Arab?
No, it's Arab.
If I call it Arab, Alabama. Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, he used to be down in there.
Okay.
Yeah, he does. But he actually got started in the car business down in Alabama. Yeah,
I might go over and look at some cars. It's too far to go to Arab.
Well, you need to go. You need to buy locally, and buying locally, you at Stan McNabb is still a local buy because he was born and raised here off of the Woodbury Highway and has a tremendous family, which of course I am part of.
Well, I'm kind of digging the ground, laying the groundwork to go over there and look at cars now. Stan, if you're listening.
Now, you and I go back a long way, and we can talk about a lot of things. And one of your biggest loves, as I can remember when we used to work together, is you always wanted to be on radio. And since we have this show, I told myself, I have to get Avent on here, because I can remember all the endless hours of torture you would put me through when the CB radio craze came out. And of course, they had the smoky.
We solved some crimes with that CB radio. You remember that now?
Tell me one.
Well, I can't think of one right now, but
some poor trucker going too fast on the interstate or something like that. That would be about.
But all the interesting handles.
Yeah.
You know, the names that people had.
I can't remember what yours was.
Mine was, Jimmy Gilmore. You remember the late Jimmy Gilmore?
Yes, worked for the Highway Patrol. Great guy.
His handle was, he was a great guy. He called me the good sergeant,
mm-hmm.
or the and he was the good shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Lightning Rod was what was the guy? He's got a record company now. I can't think of his name.
Why'd you bring it up for then?
Well, I'm telling age, but he was lightning rod. It'll come to me, and I'll call you about 12 o'clock when I.
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
Anyway, there was a lot of great. Uh-huh. There were things we were able to find out things from people that had CB radios in their cars, and they would call us. They would always travel up and down the interstate, mm-hmm. you know, just seeing who they could get in touch with. And
I never heard of any handles other than Good Buddy. That's all I ever heard about ever.
I was called the bubblegum machine for a while.
Yeah.
Obvious, because we used to have those nice.
The one light.
Yeah, the one light, and it was great. Yeah. You know? It looked like a big bubblegum machine.
Do you remember when you first started working at the sheriff's office when Robert Goodwin hired him?
Oh, yes, sir.
And that was in 74 or?
That would have been 73.
73.
Yeah, 73. I think that's right, 73. Because I got out of the Navy in 72. And there was just no work.
Actually, I wanted to work there. I mean, mm-hmm. I left a job that was making a whole lot more to go to work at the sheriff's office at that time, because it just something that got in my blood. I was working at Greyhound, and if anybody remembers the old station at the corner of 6th and Commerce in Nashville, that was it was business 24 hours a day and all kinds of business going in there.
Well, the station here was behind the A&P.
Right.
At that time, and that was an interesting place.
But the Metro was constantly in and out that building because there was all kinds of people who are travelers are targets, and they're looking for anybody that they can make a buck off of. And there were flim-flammers, and people don't know what flim-flammers are. They basically were con artists,
mm-hmm.
and there were a slew of them that would come in at the bus station there.
They cleaned all that out. There's no con artist or anything walking around Nashville streets now, are there?
Oh, surely not.
I wouldn't think so.
But people would fall for some of the dumbest things, and it constantly amazed me. Of course, working there, we got to know all of them, and it was not unusual for us to have confrontations with them. And it was such an interesting study of human nature working there, as far as all the people that would come in. We would have Mennonites would travel bus quite a lot, and it was very interesting to watch them and talk to them and their culture, and people that would be from other countries would use the bus to travel so that they would have a better feeling of what's going on in America, because they'd be right there with them. And
mm-hmm.
and it was such a great way for me to be able to learn about all kinds of different
people.
Well,
I remember as a kid, we'd go to Nashville. And to go to Nashville was almost a all-day trip just to get there and back.
Oh, yeah, the old we'd ride Nashville
on
Highway.
The old Nashville Highway. We'd get it there at Sky Harbor in Florence.
That really dates you, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, Sky Harbor. But it was a big deal, and I had a second cousin, Joe Lane.
Mm-hmm.
He drove a Greyhound, and mm-hmm. he drove that route back and forth.
Knew him well.
And I think it was a quarter or 50 mm-hmm. cents to get to Nashville.
Actually, Rutherford County was known as Greyhound something, the Greyhound community or something like that, because there were a ton of Greyhound bus drivers that lived in Rutherford County in that time. And It was the way to travel, actually, and I can still remember going into Old Jefferson off that old bridge over there and praying for my life, hoping that we would get across it, because there was maybe about 4 inches on each side with that bus going through, and you could hear it creaking. I mean, you could literally, it sounded like it was straining. But I wanted to go into law enforcement, and Robert Goodwin was kind enough to hire me, and I have never regretted doing that. It was just something that you have a calling for. You know, preachers have a calling to be ministers, and everybody has something in particular that they're put on this earth for, and I really did enjoy it.
Well, he was a good man. I remember one thing he said. He told me, and he knew my family. He knew mm-hmm. he was always looking for guys that or folks that he knew their hearts. I lived over in Bellwood, grew up when I was a kid in Bellwood, and knew his kids, and we all grew up over there. It was mm-hmm. a great place to grow up. And I remember one thing he said, Avon, when you're dealing with the public, think about you're always dealing with somebody's dad, mama, mm-hmm. brother, sister, aunt, uncle, cousin, brothers and sisters and said, it could be yours. He says, you never mistreat anybody. Don't ever mistreat anybody. Do what you have to do, but remember who you're dealing with, that they have loved ones like you have. And there are times to keep hard to keep that in mind when dealing with some of those old boys. But I always kind of kept that kind of attitude and always try to do it.
You know, you were part of Robert Goodwin's strategy is to have people who had families with deep roots in the community so that they would be able to communicate well. And we've brought this subject up a number of times. And the Lane family, your dad, Avent.
Avent, they called him Boot.
Boot. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Tom Lane. Mm-hmm. And all of you guys together, you are all an important part of the history of Rutherford County. And I'm thinking back, you've got Buster, who I played football with, and Linda, who was in my class of 59, and she left here and went to Chattanooga, I think.
Yeah, she went to Chattanooga, had four kids, and they all turned out great. They're engineers, nuclear engineers, and worked for TVA.
She must have married somebody really bright.
Well, Glenn, I don't know Glenn. Glenn's a smart guy. Glenn worked for the highway system. He was kept all the interstates on the east part of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. He would go out and direct what was going to be fixed and not be fixed. And I think he's just retired. He's been there 50 years. Mm. Didn't think he was ever going to retire. I bet the state was thinking, is this guy ever going to go? But they've decided to travel around. Mm. And I talked to my wife, Marlene. She said they were up at Niagara Falls. She talked to Linda yesterday. Said just her and Glenn. None of the kids are just traveling, and I'm so glad they're doing that. They're going around seeing all those places that all our lives we say, well, I'm going to go to the Niagara Falls, Yellowstone, mm-hmm. and you know, you never get around to it, but they're doing it. And I'm really, you know, just like everybody else, she's fighting health problems, and mm-hmm. but dealing with them, taking it as it comes. That's all you can do.
As young as she is.
Yeah, well, yes, y'all the same age.
Yes.
Y'all are the same
yes,
age.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we're quite young. I just got through talking to cousin Steve Lane a minute ago. He is doing something all the time, and he has married such a precious girl in Sherry.
Yeah.
I mean, she is quite an athlete.
Hey, you know the old adage, I'd rather be lucky than be good. He lucked out there.
Your dad was a builder.
Right.
And he and your Uncle Tom, they kind of worked together in a way.
Right. Uncle Tom had Lane Realty, sold the houses and had insurance and had a different staff of folks that worked with him that he was in partners with. And over the years, Dad, he did the building. Mm-hmm. He built quite a few of the houses in the Bellwood subdivision over in Riverview. And he always had a great reputation for building a really, really good house. And you can still see those houses. They're going to be there.
Those houses.
50 years from now.
Yeah, they're kind of like those houses that you think of in New England that's going to be 200, 300, 400 years old.
They'll
be there forever. And a lot of people don't realize it, that when you buy a home, it's always good to check and see which company actually built that home.
Right, yeah. It's, you know, home is not any better than what the builder, you know, the quality of the builder, how good he really takes pride in his workmanship. I remember Daddy, one time I was working for him, which was rare because it was hard for me to work for him because mm-hmm. he would expect twice as much out of me than he did everybody else on the
supposed
job.
To be.
Well, you know, after a while, it's hard to get a fourth out of me. But anyway, I started working for Uncle Robert in mm-hmm. Nashville down at Hardaway at those big outfits. But I saw him one day, a load of lumber came from Haynes Brothers, which, you know, Haynes Brothers, the best quality stuff there mm-hmm. is.
Been here forever.
Yeah, and they've always been good. But mm-hmm. Pap, he didn't like the way the load looked. You know, it was like the kiln had gotten too hot and some mm-hmm. of the tuber fores, and he made them take it back. Mm-hmm. And they called back and talked to Mr. Haynes and said, yep, bring it on back. He said it ain't no good, bring it back. So he was real, made sure that he was there all the time. That's back when they had all the builders. They had their own, they didn't have subs like they have now. They have their whole crews. They had masons, they had drywall guys, and everybody kind of multitasked, did different things at different stages of the mm-hmm. job. And he'd have like three or four houses going at one time, and one crew would move around, and it was pretty efficient. But as time went on, the subs started kicking in, and that took over.
You know, I'm surprised you didn't get into that business in some respects, because you're so good with your hands. You can develop, I mean, you can see things that I have no idea what you're looking at when you're trying to.
I still do that.
Yeah.
I've got a rare thing that I do. It's a rare job.
But when you started sheriff's office, of course, that was probably the beginning of your career as far as working.
Yeah, I had worked at United Service Equipment, mm-hmm. which used to be, before then, was the old Schwartzball plant. And people would fight to get a job at Schwartzball.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And it was a great place to work. The mm-hmm. sheet metal and stainless steel and stuff. That's where I started learning the engineering about sheet metal fabrication, mm-hmm. and I learned a lot about corporate. How when you work on, you know, you're not working on the line, but you're on staff, engineer's aide, or an engineer. Things come down from corporate that completely blindside you. If they decide to do something in New Jersey, mm-hmm. you know, people. So I had about a year of really good time there, and we got kind of crossed up and. And they had let go of about 14 different engineers over a period of time, and it was just my time. So I was hunting them a job. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I know Sheriff Goodwin and whatever. And I knew his son Sam and Fred, mm-hmm. and Sam called and said, hey, the sheriff's looking for, you know, folks. And I went over there, and I had, you know, no idea about what the job would be like. And there was very little training. Matter of fact, my training was with you.
Oh, JT.
Yeah, riding that car with you. And I really loved the job. I mean, I loved it. The old thing that you see on the side of those Adam 12 cars to protect mm-hmm. and serve.
Yeah.
We took that stuff serious, really serious.
We did, but it was one of those jobs that you couldn't wait to get to work because there was so everybody got along. We had to watch each other's backs because there were very few of us back then.
What was it, about 16
people, right. When you came on. And the funny thing about it is that we were a bunch of people without formal training, but we had the knowledge of the community. And most everybody there, in fact, if you didn't have common sense, you needed to be in another job.
Right, and there was one other element. Mm-hmm. Not only common sense and how to stay calm when everybody else is going haywire, but this may sound silly, but good manners.
Right.
Everybody was raised with good manners and respecting everybody, you know, other individuals. And that was a big thing, you know, giving people the respect that's due.
Everybody that we had dealt with in unusual circumstances was in a very stressful situation, and we knew that when we got there. And we knew that we were going to handle them, and you can overdo anything, especially in law enforcement. If you come in to manhandle somebody in a situation, mm-hmm. 99 times out of 100 you're going to end up in a fight. And that's what we found out over the years. And it's been interesting to watch the change, the culture change in the process of law enforcement over the years. They're a lot more experienced as far as education in law enforcement. They've been to all the schools and have all the training. But the one ingredient you always have to maintain, or actually there's two of them. One is that you have to have a caring about your job and a caring about the people that you're serving, mm-hmm. including the one that you're going out there after that particular time. And you have to have common sense. You have to be able to read things. And that's an innate quality. That's something that you do not train.
I'll tell a story on you, because I know you're going to tell a story on me. But talking about using your head and playing it cool and just, you know, don't just jump. There was a restaurant It was called TC's
Truck Stop.
TC's Truck Stop, mm-hmm. on the New Nashville Highway. You can tell how old I am, New Nashville Highway. But Highway 41, mm-hmm. it's gone, been gone a while. I think there's a place across the street called the Hangman. It was a bar, beer joint, or whatever is there.
Close to the old VFW.
Yeah, real close to the old VFW. Anyway, we got a call. Well, anyway, we always were close over there around 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. We'd mm-hmm. always go there and we'd get something to eat.
They wanted us to come in because that's when right. all the clubs
you know, and people see,
and all the
you know,
drugs
the old cliche of, yeah. oh, they're going to go get a donut. Well, yeah. A lot of times there's reasons police yeah. do the things that they do. It's mm-hmm. like, well, I'm just going to hang out here because all the drunks are going to, well, no, I shouldn't say drunk, excuse
Actually,
me.
Luby used to call us. He was the one that was over the VFW. Yeah. And he said, will you please come up there? Just, all the drunks
oh,
are coming
yeah.
out.
Oh, they're going yeah. you know, and it just happened to be there. It's mm-hmm. a lot more efficient. Mm-hmm. But we were in the area, and we got a call. There was a fight, mm-hmm. knife fight and all this stuff in the parking lot. And there, we drove up, and there was a big crowd there. And I won't say who the people were, but they were well-known guys. They were real scamps, you know. But I remember them, and we got out of the car. I got out of the car, man. I was gonna, you know, start. And you said, "No, wait, just a minute, just hold on." And I, you know, and then boy, these two guys were going at me. And they were, and these guys were well known, strong, mm-hmm. powerful men, and could hurt you. And boy, they went at it for about 2 or 3 minutes there, and then they both were sitting there looking at each other, just with their arms down their mm-hmm. sides, says, "Now let's go get them." So it was like you're having a couple of kids and just putting them in the car, and I learned something right there. Use your head. They weren't killing each other. They mm-hmm. were just fist fighting. They were wrestling. They were a couple of drunks wrestling. But, you know, they were really going at it. And
that was not unusual because it was usually two of us to 100 sometimes.
Yeah.
Actually, there's been more than that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just a matter of using your head and just let them know that you're in there to take care of the situation and that's your job mm-hmm. and to allow them to see exactly what they're doing.
Right.
And most of the time,
they go, "Oh, yeah, man, I understand. I yeah. understand. You're just doing your job yeah. and everything." And if they can have, you know, their senses about them and you give an opportunity to come to their senses, they'll realize it and then come along. Thing that amazed me, every once in a while we'd get a really wild guy, take him down to the jail and he'd be fighting, you know, mm-hmm. coming out of it. And I'd holler for Lucille or somebody. I said, "Lucille, you know, the matron."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Come out here and get this guy." She'd come out there and she'd use it. "Young man, get out of it." You know, it was like that mother's yeah. voice talking to this guy, mm-hmm. and yes ma'am, and he would calm down and come on out. It was like that little, I wouldn't have to fight that guy, you know. But
it was amazing when first, of course, Craig Snell was working there, and he mm-hmm. later became a sheriff, and Randy Galloway was there. He became the DA's assistant.
Oh, these guys were great investigators.
Yeah,
too.
We had David Puckett. He became yeah. assistant DA. Steve Lane. Mm-hmm. Cousin Steve worked there, and everybody knows that he was the very first 911 director
right.
that we ever had in Rutherford County. And if it wasn't for him, we probably would have never gotten 911.
That's right, exactly.
And he made it a point to I guess do all the groundwork and
Steve
very
under,
bright, very
Steve
bright.
Understood the things of equipment. Like the mm-hmm. CB radio could be a handy tool, mm-hmm. different things, having different radios and having different ways of communications and having that in place, you know, because information is the key. But you're right, if it wasn't for Steve, that I don't think, you know, we'd be a lot mm-hmm. less further down the road than we are now. We've got an incredible system.
We did have some experience that came over from the police department. Of course, Robert Goodwin had been a lieutenant over at the Murfreesboro Police Department. And then we had the Ernest Carlton, who was
right.
one of my favorites
yeah,
of all time.
That's right.
Who actually took care of Eagleville for us.
Right.
And I could write a book about him, and it would be just absolutely hilarious. And Houston Carlton
right.
Was the chief deputy at that time. Buddy Oliver.
Buddy Oliver.
Was captain. And we had very few people, but the people that we had were the type of people that you needed to do the job in that
yeah.
particular setting. It was just I started to say Jerry Smotherman, but that is his name. But we always called him Cooney.
We called him Cooney.
Cooney, and then Charlie Potts,
Charlie
Jr. Potts.
Yeah, Charlie.
And Jr.
They always knew Short Creek Road.
They knew every place in the county and knew everybody that lived in the county.
Knew them all.
And they were so much fun to work with. And I tell you one thing, with everybody that was at the sheriff's office at that time, I never felt uncomfortable going with any of them into a place where they were fighting and shooting or whatever. You knew
right.
that you guys were going to stick together no matter what happened, and they were watching you back,
watching
that
back, yeah.
But I knew that you're going to be special because I knew that you had a way of changing things and altering things in a very quick way.
Yeah.
And I never will forget that I had a double barrel shotgun without a trigger guard, which is the stupidest thing that you can do.
I knew we were going to talk about this.
And
Robert
Goodwin had called us to come in, and he wanted me to come in and talk to him at the office, and we were together.
Summertime.
So I left you in the car to guard my weapon.
Yeah, right.
So I went inside 400 West Main Street, went in the office, if you remember it, his office window faced West Main Street.
Yes.
So we had a conversation going on about 5 minutes on some of the things he needed to get done that night. And all of a sudden, it sounded like the atomic bomb went off right outside
loud.
The window. The window was shaking, actually.
It wasn't that loud.
And
it was where I was at.
Well, he looked out the window and said, "What in the world was that?" And somehow, I kind of felt like I knew, but I didn't. And I said, "Well, I believe it was a backfire. I think one of the cars went by and backfired." And he said, "No, it wasn't that." So we went flying out the front door, and smoke billowed up inside the patrol car. And he went over, and he looked inside, and the floorboard was blown out in the car.
It wasn't the whole floorboard. It was a small...
You could run a Volkswagen through that hole.
Fred Flintstone car?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was after that. I think maybe watched the cartoon before.
You've gotten a lot of mileage over the years on this story.
But I'll say this. Sheriff Goodwin, he was mad.
Oh.
But he controlled his anger.
He did. He really did.
And I took the blame, as you can remember.
Well,
I told him that I should have had a trigger guard on that.
Right.
That was stupid.
We're carrying a shotgun without
right.
a trigger. And we had talked about it the day before. And we said, "Well, I need to get that fixed." So what we did, we would break the gun down.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be, broken down, which meant the shells would be kind of pushed back, and they'd be out, and there was no way.
And you don't play with the trigger while it's sitting there.
No, but somehow, no, I didn't. Here's what happened. Now we're on the radio. I got to explain this. Here's what happened. Bench seats used to be in cars.
Yes.
All right. On the front of a bench seat, there's a little bead there.
Yeah,
it's like,
right.
What happened, I'm sitting in the shotgun is laying upside down, trigger's pointing up, barrel down there by my foot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sitting there, but it was closed, and we didn't notice that it was closed, neither one of us. So something, I was sitting there, and it's hot about this time of year, but the windows are up, it's air conditioning, so the windows are up. So I heard something, and I turned to look over my shoulder, and as I turned, my knee rubbed against the shotgun.
Oh.
Now, wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
And it rolled over, and as it rolled over, the front trigger caught on the bead,
mm-hmm.
and as it slid on over, she popped, and when it went off, it was just, boy, this really ringing, ying-ying going on, and it was just full of dust and cloud, and I'm looking straight ahead going, "Oh, my God, I've blown my foot off," and I looked down there.
No, you were worrying about the sheriff coming out there.
Well, that was
you were worried about.
That was the next thing, and y'all came flying out of that thing like a shot, and just for a half a second, I was going to say, "Oh, there's a truck backfiring," and I said, "Boy, I better not lie to Sheriff Goodwin."
I say one thing. You kept your composure as far as how you look, because when we came out there, you were just looking dead straight ahead and hoping nobody was looking at you, I think.
Oh,
I want to let you know that this middle part of the show is brought to you by At Home Care, and they're located at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And you can reach them at 713-4639 or on the website at www.athomecaretennessee.com. And Melissa Warren is the owner of this company, and she saw a particular need that we had in Rutherford County to help people who had gotten older and were having a hard time dealing with the normal duties of a home and some of the other issues that they have, and even some of the people who have had illness. And she saw that if she could provide certain tasks for those people, they could still maintain a high quality of life. And what she did is she started this company, and they provide errands, laundry, personal needs, light housekeeping, transportation to appointments, grocery shopping, meal preparation, medication reminders, and many, many other things. And I know that we've already had calls for people who are very interested in this service. And if you feel like that that fits your particular needs, then I think that the number that I just gave you earlier, 713-4639, or the address, 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard, will be the avenue that you need to take. And I guarantee you, you won't find a more caring or nicer person than Melissa Warren.
Hi, I'm Dr. Britt Miaton, a cardiologist with St. Thomas Heart at Middle Tennessee Medical Center. Did you know that St. Thomas Heart is Middle Tennessee's number one rated heart program? At MTMC, we offer comprehensive services for the treatment and prevention of heart disease. From early diagnosis to minimally invasive surgical procedures, St. Thomas Heart at MTMC offers you heart care close to home. For information, visit heartasone.com or call 867-5028.
Hello, this is Frieda Morgan with First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Come by and visit with us today and see what community banking is all about. There's a difference at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. My phone number is 494-4200. We're conveniently located at 2230 Mercury Boulevard near the intersection of South Rutherford Boulevard. Come see us today. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
It's Thursday, and time for Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by First Bank. And all through the day today, the Red Cross is having a blood drive. They're critically low on blood. So please give the gift of life today at the Red Cross here in Murfreesboro. They have a new location, 501 Memorial Boulevard. That's the former Chamber of Commerce building. That blood drive going on from 9 until 6 tonight. That's right, going on until 6 tonight at the Red Cross. Come on over and give the gift of life. And speaking of 6 o'clock tonight, youth football and cheerleading sign up over there at McKnight Field next to Sportscom. In fact, that's 6 until 8 this evening. This is for ages 5 to 12. And if you can't make it over tonight, it's every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday night up until August the 4th. Time's getting close, though. And at 7:30 tonight, the Mid-State Singles Square Dance Club invite you to join them for some fun over at the St. Clair Street Senior Center. 7:30 tonight. At 8:30 this evening, it's Movies Under the Stars. And this one's over at the Siegel Neighborhood Park. 8:30 tonight. This week's flick is Karate Kid. Our hats off to the Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation Department. They've been offering this free service since 1947. Oh, don't forget the Farmer's Market in the morning, 6 to 11, over at the Lane Agri-Park. That's at 315 John Rice Boulevard, next to Paws, and just down from Sam's, 6 to 11 in the morning. This sounds like fun. The first annual golf cart rally tomorrow through Saturday over on Highway 41A South in Eagleville. And the second annual Seniors Prom is 6 until 8 tomorrow night over at the Tennessee Veterans Home. Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by First Bank.
Weather Eye.
Sunny this afternoon, high in the upper 90s. Tonight, mainly clear, low near 75. Chance of showers and storms on Friday, high of 93. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 95.
Hi, this is Mike at Maple Street Grill. Debbie and I would like to invite you down for a new happy hour 3 to 6 Monday through Friday. Try some of the exciting new menu items, citrus halibut, southwest mahi, or a new bone-in ribeye by guest request. The Maple Street Grill, located on the west side of historic downtown Murfreesboro.
Now more of The Truman Show with Truman Jones on WGNS AM and FM.
And today's guest, Mr. Abbott Lane.
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, home ground, homemade, it'll get you fits. Blueberry pancakes and corn cakes too, I'm a-licking my lips, now how about you?
Now, I think that you just heard Abbott Lane, because if I'm not mistaken, the bass guitar that was being played there is yours.
That's upright bass. Thank you very much.
Upright bass?
Yes.
What's upright. The difference?
No, there's a big difference.
I thought that all bass guitars were upright.
No, it's not a guitar. It's a fiddle.
It's a fiddle?
It's a fiddle. It's the bass fiddle.
It's kind of like a cello.
That's right. Uh-huh. It's called double bass.
Uh-huh.
And the cello was the first bass. A lot of people don't know.
Now, what do you do at the Readville Mill?
Well, we have a good time. Is what
yes,
we do.
Most, do.
With, you know, and with John Blankenship and Ken and Sarah Fazell and Billy Yearwood playing mandolin, and we just sing a lot of standard country old timey tunes, and John sings a lot of cowboy tunes, does a great job too.
And you know, every time I go there, I make sure that you sing some country western
right.
songs,
yeah.
Because I love country western.
Yeah, we do those.
And that other song, I can't remember, I believe it's called Rocky Top, I believe.
Yeah, we do the Rocky
Have
Top.
Have you ever noticed when you guys play Rocky Top that the whole place, everybody starts bouncing their foot up and down and hollering and all that stuff? I wonder why that is.
Did you see those folks from Alabama last week?
Yeah, they left.
They got up right
that was awful.
And the ladies gave me a withering look, and I just kind of blew her a kiss, you know. No, they were real nice. They enjoyed it, too.
And what we're talking about is the Readville Mill, of course, is the old mill that sits in downtown Readville. And it's right off of the old Woodbury Highway. And to get there, take about a 10-mile drive out John Bragg Highway, mm-hmm. and turn left over onto the old Woodbury Highway and go in. And Tom Brady has turned that old 200-year-old mill into a just absolutely gorgeous place, a walk back in time. And it's such a wonderful place. It's cool over there. And you can go in and take as many friends as you want and make sure that you enjoy the day. It's from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. And Avent, I think the very first time I went there, you guys were in there playing. You probably just probably started from the very beginning.
Yeah, you know, Tom, we went over there when he started doing it that first go-around. And it's got turned into a pretty big thing over there. Lots of folks show up. It's a lot of fun, too. Tom Brady, he has done an incredible job with that. The place where we played, you know, that's where the old ice house
right,
where
right.
they manufactured ice back in those days.
The very, very first ice in Rutherford County.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And close to being the very first electricity in Rutherford
in
County.
In Rutherford County and then in Tennessee. And, uh-huh. you know, 1812 was when it
that's right.
started.
We're 1 year away from 200 years old. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. But you've been into music for a long time now,
mm-hmm.
and you have played in a lot of places. What are some of the more interesting places that you play?
Some of them,
they're all interesting.
Well, one thing, you know, when I was a deputy, I always made it a rule, and it was my rule. The sheriff didn't care that if I played over here, but I felt like I shouldn't, you know, doing honky tonks and stuff, playing inside the cannon. I just didn't feel right.
Did we have any honky tonks back then?
Oh, we had a few.
I didn't exactly call them honky tonks.
Well, there's some. I'll tell you what's incredible. There's some incredible music. You know, you always hear about Music City, Nashville. Mm-hmm. Well, Music City incorporates a lot of all the counties around Nashville,
right.
not just Nashville. I mean, you go down Nashville. How many people do you know playing music that are really from Nashville that are playing? Mm-hmm. A lot of them are gone, died on. But there's still a lot of homegrown musicians, lots and lots of them. This town, in this area, it's incredible. Like on Friday nights and Saturday nights up mm-hmm. on the square, there's all the places, bistros going. As a matter of fact, I'm playing at Maple Street Grill. Friday night with the Eclectics.
The Eclectics.
Eclectics.
No, I don't think I've heard that.
Well, that's supposed to be the best of all styles. I think that's the, what the definition of that is. Anyway, it's John Green. You know John.
Yeah,
he's an attorney.
John, yeah.
Larry Pinkerton has a place called Media Rerun over there where the new Walmart is at. And his wife, Gay Pinkerton, she sings. And we do a selection of pop tunes, jazz, Beatles tunes, little country.
Oh, you're covering everything.
Oh, yeah. That's why it's called the Eclectics.
Oh, okay.
And we
John must have come up with that name.
That's oh man, you got that.
Yeah.
I'll leave it to a lawyer.
He's the only one smart enough of the whole bunch to come up with a name like that.
Wait a minute. Well, anyway, yeah, it's quite good. It's really it's sounds
what great. Name some of the songs that you guys sing, cause
I'll do most
and when are you there?
We'll be there Saturday night.
Saturday night. At what time?
I think it's starts at 7. I believe that's right. But I'm such a good businessman about all this.
I've got to go to a wedding this Saturday night, so I can't.
Well, you can come.
I'd love to.
You can stay late. And it's a wine. They call it. They have wine and stuff up in the. It's on the second floor. And what's funny, that same place. It used to be called Sebastian's. I used to play jazz there with a fellow named Roland Gresham, up at that same place. But all the interest, I played, him and I played out at the Borough over there by the university on Sunday evenings playing jazz for those kids. Did it for years.
What is your favorite genre?
Well, it just depends on the mood I'm in at the time. I like it all. I really do. And that's probably my problem. I won't concentrate on one particular thing. But everything overlaps. Everything, one thing influences the other. And the more you know, the more more tools you have in the box there.
But isn't a bass guitar?
Well, it's not too good by itself, but I have done a gig myself when nobody else.
But isn't that the easiest instrument to play?
Hey. Well, I'll put it like this. The reason I started playing bass, I was a guitar player, so we couldn't find a bass player. So I said, well, hey, it's only got 4 strings. It can't be that bad. And little did I know that it's the foundation. You know, if it's not right, nothing's going to sound good. And it can make everything else sound so much better that, you know, you don't even notice since it's not there. And then when you hear the bass start playing, you go, man, that sounds great. It's just like on your car. Take the bass all the way off on your car. Well, that's what it sounds like without the bass.
You're right. There's something about a guitar. I mean, of course, it goes back forever. I mean, those of us that grew up watching Roy Rogers and Gene Autry and all it's always the guitar that forms the melody for everything.
Right. Well, it's easy to carry around. You can carry a guitar around. It's kind of hard to carry a double bass.
But you don't think about it until you just sit down and just quietly listen to it. I mean, the Sons of the Pioneers. I mean, there were all these people over all the years. And now you guys, I mean, you didn't have to have electric guitars back then or anything like that. I mean, and the music was great.
What's coming around so wonderful, Uncle Dave Macon days, I'm involved with that pretty heavily as far as the music stuff goes. I'm the chairman of the judges. I don't judge.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I don't judge. I just get the judges together.
What are the benefits? What are the payolas from there?
Well, I mean, just the enjoyment and the what is the payola? Yeah, I wish there was. I could figure something out there. It'd be nice. But no, it's just a wonderful thing. And I hate contests.
I would not want to judge a contest of musicians
because
you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. That's
my job. Yeah. I'm the chairman of judges, and when somebody's upset, well, go over there and talk to Mr. Lane. He's the chairman of the judges, you know. And you know, over the years, though, I've only had a lot of years, only about 4 people really get sideways, you know. And I was nice. I kind of went back on my old.
So it's real competitive among all the musicians.
It can be. Most people that come to those things, they just want to get on stage and play their little music and everything and you know, try to compete. See, and some guys, you know, there's some guys that get up there, they're professional contest players, more or less, because they go to all the contests. And I used to really get really irritated. I said, you guys are professional musicians. Why are you doing that? And then I saw a friend of mine up at Clarksville one afternoon win $800 in an afternoon. And I kind of went, oh, yeah, I kind of see why you guys are doing this now. You can make some good money doing it if you get really good at it.
Now, there's a lot of businesses around here take advantage of the local talent here.
Oh, horribly so.
Because they're, and I think it's really good for their business.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for the musicians because they can go out and perform their craft in front of a mm-hmm. number of people and get the enjoyment of seeing that.
All I would say to all those, especially the young musicians, is you know, open mic is one thing, but when you have a band and you're up there playing for nothing, you know, you're not giving yourself enough credit. Also, you're cutting the throats of other musicians. And I think if play for something, put the hat out, put a tip jar out, play for something. Don't do it for nothing.
Well, you'd be practicing anyway, so you might as well.
Well, see, there's the attitude.
All right, we have a caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with Avent Lane.
I was just wondering if who did Avent used to play with back when he was playing the people and everything? What the name of the band was?
Well, remember the old Starlighters, L.B. Farrell and the Starlighters?
Yeah.
That's I played with him and Gail Stemm.
Yeah, I remember Gail and all of them.
Yeah, that's the folks that I played
yeah,
with.
Yeah, I worked at the Moose Lodge. I had you guys down there.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Who are we talking to?
Mac,
how you? You. I remember you. Yeah, the Moose still happening, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess I retired from down there in '97.
I played some wonderful gigs,
but I remember you. I remember your name and everything. I was studying there. I trying to put your name and your face together, but that's been a long time ago.
Yeah, that's been a while. I remember when Jerry Lee Lewis came down there. You remember that?
Yeah.
Wow.
I had to take $75 out the airport to put gas and the plane for
him. Oh, man, he was a character.
They didn't have enough money to put gas in that airplane.
Well, I remember he started to beat up on the piano he had there. He had to.
It didn't start till I think it was near 11 o'clock.
Right.
They didn't get there till late.
Right. And he started, and somebody looked at him. I'm not going to say it is. Said, "Don't you be messing this piano up." You know, I said, "Jerry Lee, you around home folks now. They won't put up with that mess, you know." But he put on a show.
Okay. Yeah, I was trying to place who you played with, Avon.
Yeah, played with LB for a long time. LB,
Sheriff, I really like his program. I turn him on every afternoon when I can.
Well, I appreciate that. And we have fun up here.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. It's for the community.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
Matt,
you.
Good to hear from you. Wow.
That's the thing about it. You guys don't just play with one band anymore. You play with a lot of different ones over the years.
Yeah, I play with it's kind of a hired gun kind of thing, you know, wherever. I play at a place in Nashville called Sambuca's down there in the Gulch. Play with a jazz group there, Dallas Starkey. And,
is that hard to adjust from one group to another?
No. It takes years to get to where you can do that. But it's kind of like... you know, and also you have the tools. You have the charts and the music in front of you there. And, you know, you always tell somebody that you go to work for, says, I need give me some kind of guide to tell me how your tunes go.
Mm-hmm.
And I just work from that. And most of the time they're pop tunes and things that I already know. I just need to know what key they're in and how the, you know, and if I have the changes. But I've got tools. I've come up with this little laptop that I took PowerPoint and mm-hmm. I took all my charts and I put them in my PowerPoint, and so I've got this little display on my music stand sitting over there. And they've got $5,000-$6,000 units now that do all this stuff. And I started, and nobody has them because poor musicians can't afford to buy it. So the guys that come around, they say, "Where'd you get that? How'd you do it?" I said, "It's just PowerPoint. You know, I scan my charts and it works really good. You know." I'm trying to figure out how to make a dollar out of that, but I don't think Microsoft will share with me.
To me, I got a friend, Ray Troop, and when he retired from being a doctor, he took up music. And he always could play the piano, but mm-hmm. he's taken up some other types, playing a violin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he says it is the most relaxing thing in the world and the best way to adjust and be able to use your time up and have a good time.
He's found the secret.
Is learning to play a musical instrument.
It is definitely. It keeps I quit playing for about a year one time, and after about 7 months of not doing it, Marlene told me, so would you go back to playing?
Being grouchy.
Yeah, just, yeah. You know.
We're going to have to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you. This is Truman Jones. Let me take just a minute to tell you about my friends down the road in Shebaville at Pirtle and Howerton Automotive. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, Pirtle and Howerton is the place to go. Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC. You can find anything you need at Pirtle and Howerton Automotive in Shebaville. They take pride in the vehicles they sell and strive to succeed in great customer experience and satisfaction. Whether you are looking for a new or used, their friendly and knowledgeable staff are eager to assist you in your car buying process. You can check out their extensive inventory at PearlHowerton.com.
That's Pirtle and Howerton Automotive, 2006 North Main in Shelbyville. Don't let a 20-minute drive cost you thousands of dollars. Go by, see them today, or give them a call, 1-800-264-6800. Or online at PirtleHowerton.com.
It's been a busy week, and it's finally winding down. Too tired to cook supper? Stop by Kirk & Burt's and pick up our family pack to go. A pound of barbecue, buns, and your choice of side, all for just $9.99. Kirk & Burt's, 517 Kaysen Lane, just down from the theater.
You've known him for years. Now you can visit with him every day. It's The Truman Show, continuing right now on WGNS, AM and FM.
Welcome back with Avon Lane, one of my longtime friends. And we've worked together in a number of situations, and tell you how time goes by. I remember when you guys were living out on 231 South, yeah. Right there where the golf club is.
Oh,
right,
man. Now.
And Matt was born
right
when you lived over right. There. And Matt's his son.
1976.
Uh-huh. And Matt is now still working with 911.
Yep.
And he does a lot of the programming and takes care of the technical work over there. And he has a lot of, I guess he got a lot of that from you, because
yeah.
you've always had that instinct of being able to see things and produce things that maybe other people don't even think about.
Well, I have that bent. I was like, when I was a kid, I took apart every clock in the house, and I got them all back together.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't keep time too good, but I did get them all back together. But it was the curiosity there mm-hmm. of things. And I've always taken the attitude, if something's broke, well, it's broke anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to mess it up any more than what it already is, so I'll give it a shot. You know, that's kind of like a farmer.
Yeah.
You know, I think I should have been a farmer.
You and Marlene, your wife,
mm-hmm.
Just want to make sure you remembered what her name was. You live on Highland Street.
On Highland, real close to the old hospital.
And you've been there for a pretty good while. I mean, that neighborhood has really changed.
Yeah.
But right through there, I never will forget, I was, you and I were over there at that house, and I think it was your mom's
right.
and dad's house at
right.
that time.
They moved there in 68.
Now, he did not build that house, did he?
No.
House was already there.
No, that house was Dr. Gott.
Delivered me.
Did he?
Dr. Gott delivered me, yes.
There's an old urban legend. I don't know if it's an urban legend. You know, he was a first-generation German, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he was a well-known man in Germany, apparently. And there's a story, and I'd like to check this out. Maybe a Secret Service can tell me that during the war, he had sat down and had a couple of drinks or hot mm-hmm. toddies or whatever, and he called Germany to
Ooh.
The Reichstag, and he got through, and he was cussing Hitler and those people over there. And for a couple of months, the Secret Service kept eye on that house and everything, thought it was some kind of secret thing. And apparently it wasn't. You know, he was just so angry at the way things were going in Germany and all the stuff, and he got through.
That's interesting. You
know, I don't know
I've
if it's true.
I've never heard that story before.
If it's not, it should be. But,
yeah.
you know, there's been so many classified things. Probably somebody could, get with the Secret Service and see if that is a true tale. But if it's a great tale.
I love that house you live in. Oh. I really do. And it has one of the nicest basements I've ever been yeah. in.
I've heard it referred to as a Michigan basement.
Right.
You know, it's all concrete
right.
and everything.
And your dad took me down in that basement when I was over there with you. And I tell you, your mom and dad were the sweetest people. Just had a really wonderful time with them. But he still had that salesmanship in him. He said, "Now this would be a great house for you, young man."
Yeah, he's always.
And I was thinking, yeah, I couldn't afford this house.
He was always looking to the next thing.
Yeah, Here we were working 6 days a week, a 9-hour, 10-hour day every day, no overtime.
Well, yeah, supposed to get comped. And, you know, boil it down, that's the reason after I'd been there three and a half years. And the reason I left, I loved the job. Yeah. I really did. I was going to, and we had started people going to the academy. We were getting some training, some really good professional training.
Yeah, we started that in 76.
Yeah, that got me fired up. It was like, it was great. Mm-hmm. And as time went on, the money was just so, and I had, you know, a small child, wife, and everything.
You had to have two people working, and then
it was a scramble.
You got paid once a month, and that was as at the end of the month.
I just couldn't
afford it
anymore.
And you had to pinch pennies until you made it. Sometimes you had to go
without
eating.
But look how everything turned out. I should have stayed.
Yeah.
Story of my life, you know.
Well, I don't know. You've had a pretty good life.
Well, I should have stayed until all the graft and stuff started kicking in, and then maybe I'd have gotten some money out of it.
When was that? I'm always the last to find out.
You're the last one to know. I know how that is.
But it was such a wonderful thing because we were able to meet so many great people. That's the one job that I've had that I've made more friends at than any other because.
Yeah.
Of course, we did have a lot of turnover. Of course, the benefits weren't great, and the hours were not great.
One of the problems that happens, and it's a problem in a community. This community has grown so much; it's huge. Mm-hmm. And how many is in the county now? It's over
about 265,000-270,000.
Yeah, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. The problem, like when we were there, people. You knew almost everybody. Almost everybody knew you. Mm-hmm. Almost everybody knew your heart, mm-hmm. knew who you were and what was going on. Everybody knew everything. Now, there's such a hyperbole or things over the top about things that are bad and people are low down and whatever. They're a bunch of crooks and all that. You hear it all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, every politician gets slammed, which they should. That's part of the gig. But, you know, if I believed half the things that were said about folks in government... Oh, it would, you know, if it's like we've gone over the top in this ill-mannered way that we deal with our government.
Well, while you're here, you want to say anything bad about anybody?
Well, I was just thinking.
I mean, you got the airway. there's no pause or anything. I mean, we're wide open here.
Do you realize this thing goes around the world?
Oh, yeah, I know it does.
I go to Memphis quite often, and I do
a lot
work
of people
there.
In Florida listen to this
yeah,
show.
Yeah, I listen to it online. I mean, WGNS is... Yeah.
And that's what incredible. The fun thing is. We stay in touch with people that we ordinarily would not be able to see.
Right, right.
And it's great to be able to send the community message out everywhere because Rutherford County here, we're still alive and well. And
it's still
the same people.
People, all my life, people said, we love the people that move in. Right. We love Rutherford County. We love Murfreesboro. It's just incredible. You know, it's like it was like a big secret for years. Mm-hmm. The only thing that bothers me, if we're not careful to maintain the way that our attitudes and the way we've done things that made it that way, if we forget why we are where we're at, and it's not necessarily the folks right now that have done it. It's the folks in the past that done it. And there's the guide.
Why are you blaming us?
I didn't blame anybody. I'm just saying we need to – don't get me started. You know how that goes. I'll save it for the city.
Well, I'm cutting into Brian's time, and I know how hateful he gets with me when this happens. So it has been a great day with you, Avon. I'm sorry that you were so late getting here.
I wasn't late.
I become extremely stressed out when that happens.
Oh, okay.
But tomorrow we're going to have a little bit of tune playing if you want to show back up tomorrow. John Frost is going to come. He's going to bring his guitar. We're going to talk about a lot of the things that have happened here in Rutherford County. And he may bring Jim Satterwhite. He's not sure, but... we're going to have a fun time tomorrow. So if you want
to
have a great gig, come by tomorrow at 2:00 and we'll be here.
I'll bring the bass.